Lord, we just ask that you bless us tonight, Lord. We want to bless you, but we only want to do what you want us to do. We ask that you lead us and guide us. Show us what you want to talk about. That's some wonderful things that we can talk about when we get into the Word. It's so awesome, Lord, to know. I read some things today, Lord, it just blew my mind. And I'm thanking you, Father, for your Word. And I ask, Lord, that tonight that we just get in to you and allow you to work in us and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and show us what you want us to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless everybody tonight with words of wisdom and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Let's see, I have some paper before we go. Where is it? All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Wooly. Good to see you back, buddy. Are you back at home? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? I do. I'll pray for Blake and Chris. Lord, I lift up Blake and Chris to you. You know the heavens in a wreck today. I don't know where Chris is with you, Lord. But I ask that you use this to bring him to you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that I thank you for healing Blake's arm and healing up the scratches on his face. And we thank you for it, Father. And whatever was wrong with Chris, Lord, I ask that you heal him too. I don't think there was anything wrong with him. But anyway, and if there was anybody hurt in that other car, Lord, I ask that you heal them as well. In Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you, that the court system show favor with Chris. Let him retain his driver's license. But Father, I ask and I pray because he has to go back forth to work. And Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Whatever you need to do, Lord, let it all be pulling those two back towards you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Wade.
I'm going to let my wife say as much as she wants because I usually stop. I don't know why. But she needs a dentist.
I would like to just say this first. Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I think Jesus healed the infected too. I went to the dentist on the 21st of August. And I wasn't having any pain there, and I haven't had any pain since. And I believe Jesus healed my tooth, my infected tooth. I don't think it's infected anymore. I have faith for that.
She went to the dentist, and the dentist just gave cleaned the tooth, didn't give her any antibiotics or anything like that. So he said the tooth had to be pulled, and either that or root canal. We can't afford a root canal, and we can't stand the pain for one. So,
I believe that was healed.
All right, listen, we're going to pray for it, Jeanette. And are you going to believe that it, when we pray, it's done?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're going to pray. Father, we know, and we pray. We thank you, Lord, that when we come to you and you fix things, there ain't no pain, and there ain't no money either. And we thank you, Lord, that we command that tooth to heal up, be restored, and not ever give her any problems anymore in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit root canal. Now, actually, I just ask that you replace all that abscess in there and replace it with good stuff in Jesus' name. I command that tooth to be healed completely in the name of Jesus. Amen.
She got two cavities.
Okay, well, in the name of Jesus, we command those cavities to be filled up with great enamel, what was there. And, Father, we thank you for it. We command the cavities to cease their activity against her, and we command those teeth to straighten up and be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen. I believe
Amen,
it.
Amen, sister. I believe
hallelujah.
It. Amen. It's done.
Amen. Thank you.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory to the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, my. Anybody in here? Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother.
I almost forgot how to use this thing.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you guys as well. Well, the Lord has me on a 40-day fast. You know, every day from 10 to 3, no food. You know, and at first I was like, you know, why 10 to 3? You know, until I started counting, you know, 10 to 3 is 5 hours. I'm like, oh, this represents grace. And so I'm doing a 10 to 3, 40-day fast. I'm on my fourth day, you know, and I haven't gone without, you know, the first I haven't gone without being attacked. So I know that the enemy is defeated. Christ did all that on the cross for me. You know, he recently taught me what fasting was. I was so legalistic when it came to fasting. It was ridiculous. That's why I hated fasting. Like, if someone said, hey, that's fast, I'm like, you know, and until the Lord, you know, he recently taught me, he said, you know, fasting represents the two commandments that Christ gave to you. You know, this is what it's supposed to bring to you, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. You know, and I always took fasting legalistically until he corrected me. You know, when he corrected me, you know, I went on a fast immediately because I was so joyous about, you know, the fast. And I was like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to go on a fast. If I knew back then what I knew now, the fast, fasted a lot more. But back then, man, to me, fasting was just like this rigid line, you know. There was no mercy in breaking it, you know. I'm telling you, I had a legalistic mind when it came to fast. So whenever you guys would bring up fasting, I'm like, I know me. But yeah, so I just, 4 days ago now, I entered into this fast. And, you know, the first, you know, the Lord showed me it was urgent. You know, and the weight of it felt like life or death. Like, that's what the weight of it felt like. You know, and I also felt like power would come from it. You know, but I'm just fasting to see what the Lord wants to give me. I'm not going to put any of my expectations in there, but I know I was told to do it, and I know it was given to me with an urgency, you know, and that sense of weightiness to it. But yeah, it's been a very different thing now, knowing that fasting is those two commandments. You know, it is that which is supposed to bring you into, you know, deeper relations with those two commandments, to walk in them, to keep in them, you know, to become those commandments, you know, and not just try to obey them, you know, but to become them. But yeah, this just, I'm just sharing the little bits and pieces I got. I guess that's just what I want to pray about.
Man, you've been gone for a year and a half, and that's all you got to say? All right, it's good to have you back, brother. Man, all right, anybody else? How about a testimony? Praise the Lord. Hey, Dave. Yeah, I miss you.
Well, the other day, something happened to me, and, you know, the more I thought about it, I thought, wow. I was cooking on the grill some chicken thighs that had skin on them. When I was turning them, one of them squirt out grease and hit me in the face and the eye, and, you know, and it only felt warm. And I, you know, right away I said, you know, I don't receive this, because it just like surprised me, you know. And then the Lord brought to my mind that my son Kurt, when he worked at Texas Roadhouse, he used to work on the fryer, and he had some grease splash in his eye. It wasn't real bad. It was just like one spot or whatever, but it was really hot, you know. And he went to the eye doctor, whatever, and got some drops that really hurt, you know. And I was just like, and I knew my grill was at least 450 degrees, you know. And it was just like the Lord showed me, you know, that he protected me, that that didn't harm me at all, you know. And I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, the more I thought about it, you know, the Lord showed me that. And then I felt really blessed. I had to take my bike to get new gears on it and all. And they told me it was going to cost $50 to have new gears put in the back, you know, back at the back wheel. And then they called me and told me that it was going to cost like another $20. I should have a chain replaced too, because it was really worn. So I said, okay. And then when she called me later that day then, and later in the evening then, and said that it was done, she said she found a part that it was only going to cost half the price of that one part. So it only cost me $58 instead. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. And I took it in Saturday and I got it back Monday, you know. And from what they were saying, it was gonna, you know, take longer than that, within a week. But I was shocked that I got it back that quick. And I just felt like that was the Lord's, I really felt the Lord's blessing and all that. And just anyway, I just feel like, you know, just feel really blessed between those two things that I shared, and just really thankful to the Lord.
So, showing a little favor to you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. That bicycle got a motor on it.
No.
No? Oh, man.
My legs. That's the motor.
All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Gano. Go ahead.
I'll kind of tell the situation, and then I believe Greg is going to pray for his sister, Stacy. I visited with her last night on the phone, and she's really stressed out. You know, they're kind of, both of their homes are kind of in a mess because they're both being worked on and torn up, and it's really causing some hardships for her son, Maverick. He's having hard time concentrating in school. She said he's not able to get his work done in school, and then he comes home and he has hours and hours of homework and he just can't get settled. But they had been dealing with an asbestos problem in their house, so they're trying to get that all cleaned up. And so they've taken out the carpeting, and then they found out that water was getting in and soaked the paneling in the walls, and it's just been one thing after the other. And she said she just felt like she was just ready to explode. And she feels that this is really the hard time that Maverick is having in concentrating. And I wanted to talk with her about that it was a demonic situation. And she's just not ready to hear that yet. It's like she just got so quiet and just did not have one thing to say. And I've tried before to share with her about this. And I told her, you know, that God does answer prayer, and that we need to believe that he will help Maverick to concentrate and to get his work done. And anyway, Greg is going to pray for them. He just said, well, I had talked to her more and I knew more about what she was going through. So I'll let Greg pray for them then. Okay.
Okay, that's fine. We'll bleed with you.
Okay, thanks. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Hey, Greg, how's it going, buddy?
Good. Doing good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I guess I also just wanted to add to that. Part of the situation was that before they realized that it was an asbestos problem, they were working on that house. And I mean, even the kids were up on, you know, ladders, scraping the ceiling and, you know, scraping off what they believed to be just, you know, excess. It was texturing, real thick texturing on the ceiling, and it was collecting cobwebs. And so they decided they wanted to get that off of there and refinish it. And don't know exactly how Dennis decided to do this or what made him do it, but he sent in a sample and found out that it had a high content of asbestos in it. And I mean, they had been, from what I understand, Stacy and the kids had been working on that for about a week. So we really would like to, you know, believe that that effect from that asbestos is not going to have any, you know, influence on them whatsoever. So, but then also, I mean, they're going through a lot of things right now. It just really seems to me like, you know, how a lot of us have felt that the Lord is just shaking everything that can be shaken. And, you know, they're not believers yet, but we believe that they're coming into that. And I believe, though, that he's shaking them, you know, like giving them a really good shaking. And I would really just like to believe that he's going to use this ultimately for their salvation.
Amen. Is this the sister that's in California?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so.
Yes. Excuse me. Okay. Well, Father, we just want to lift up Stacy and her family to you. And we know what your word says about all of this. You are in complete and total control. And nothing is too hard for you. I mean, you created the world, so this isn't a problem for you. So we ask you, Lord, to just intervene in their situation. Lord, I know you're working all of these things for your good purposes, and we're choosing to believe that you are bringing them to you. You're drawing them to yourself, and we agree with you in that. We thank you for that. We just ask you, Lord, to guard and protect them. Physically, mentally, spiritually, Lord, that you would meet them in their place of need right now, Lord, because it appears that they're going through a shaking on many fronts. We pray for your guidance and direction for them to know when to do what and the timing and all that. And we just pray, Lord, that you would instill in them your wisdom, Lord, that you would use these circumstances to cause them to draw near to you, to pursue you, to look for your truth, and to desire your truth, Lord. We ask that you would place just a burning passion in their hearts to know you, to know who you are, to know what you've done for them, and who they are in you. And we pray for their physical well-being, Lord, that you would just shield them from the effect of this asbestos and every other toxic thing in there. And we just declare it in the name of Jesus. We render any weapons formed against them by the enemy, we just render those things powerless and of no effect against Stacy and her family. That there would be no repercussions from this, that there would be no health issue whatsoever that would arise from this. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we just pray that you would even give them an understanding that it was a supernatural protection on your part and an intervention on your part that led to that. And also want to pray for Maverick, Lord, that you would just meet him in his place of need as well. We just speak to those spirits behind his lack of focus and attention deficit, whatever is going on in there. We just cast those spirits down in the name of Jesus. We render them powerless and of no effect against him. We take complete and total authority over them because you've given us authority to do that. In the name of Jesus, we just declare them powerless. And we pray in place of that, that you would give him focus and the ability to concentrate and to finish his work and to mind his parents and to just completely change him from the inside out, Lord, and work on his heart too. And that you would just bring about a change that's so dramatic that they would have to look into, wow, why did this happen? What happened here? What changed? And that you would use this as a testimony of your goodness and your mercy and grace to them. And I just pray just for their whole family, Lord, just for salvation for all of them. We just claim them for your kingdom. We believe in household salvation. You've covered this subject over and over in your word, and we stand on all those promises, and we just speak those over them and believe them in faith. And we thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Greg and Gaynold. We believe that you're already started. We pray, Lord, that I pray that the Lord of the harvest would send people there to bring them into the kingdom. I ask, Father, that you grant repentance to them and bring them in a mighty way, Lord, that they'd be excited about the Lord. And, Father, I praise you for it. And I thank you, Lord, just like what Greg was praying, that something happens there that would bring them all in there to you, Lord. And I know you're working on that right now. Send your angels round about them to protect them from all that asbestos. We praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Maverick is healed from, we bind up those demons that are keeping him from focusing in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for giving him clarity of thought in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, that Greg and Gaynold's prayers are being answered right now in Stacy's family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody agree? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody agrees.
Michael, I also wanted to mention another thing related to that. Days before that, I woke up out of a dream one morning, and I shared it with Mom, and it was about Stacy. And I, at that time, I didn't know all of the things that are going on. There's a number of things we haven't even mentioned, but it's just like a perfect storm, it seems like, of circumstances and, you know. But in the dream, it was real short, but in the dream, I saw Stacy, and she was pushing a wheelbarrow, and she was going down a hill, and it was loaded with something, and she was losing control of it. Like, it was just a big load, and eventually she lost the load, and she fell over, and in the dream, I saw Mom running over there, trying to climb up to get to where she was. And I saw another sister too, and then I woke up. But when I told Mom that dream, you know, I didn't know anything about a lot of the things that she's going through because she had just been telling Mom recently about them. And so, I mean, it was just right on. That's exactly what I pictured the Lord was showing me there, was that, you know, she's got a heavy load, and she was, you know, had the potential anyway to take her down, but we're believing against that. And but we're believing that the Lord's going to use that to turn her around and to save her and her family.
Amen. I believe it too. I believe it too. Could it also possibly mean that the load that she's carrying will be done away with, and the Lord will take that load for her?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So I believe it. I believe it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that's a good-looking garden you got, Gayno.
Good. Isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is. That's a good-looking garden.
Boy, that was only one end of it. I didn't send a picture of what was inside the fence that Greg built, but you know, a lot of that, the corn is already out and the potatoes have dried down, but I'm digging them and I've got a lot of potatoes and awesome. A lot of tomatoes and peppers and yeah, a lot of everything.
Awesome. That puts Brandy
I dig stuff down twice a week.
Garden to shame. I didn't say that to you. All right. No, that's a good looking garden. Thanks for sending it. David and I both commented on how good it looked.
Well, it really looks awesome. I've never seen it, any of my gardens look that bright green this late in the season because, you know, this time in August, that's pretty far along.
It is.
Usually they're giving it up, but it's just so, so bright green still.
Yeah. It looked good.
Yep. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Making that ground rich wherever we are.
Right.
In His name. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else got a testimony? I want to ask a question. Can I ask a question? And I want everybody to raise your hand and answer. This is a question that has never been posed on this conference call. How powerful was Adam before the fall? How smart was Adam before the fall? Do we have the same power and do we have the same wisdom as he had before the fall? Yeah, don't everybody put your hand up at one time. Let me qualify this before we go any further. I just got through reading a few pages from The Latent Power of the Soul by Watchman Nee. And if you've ever read any of his stuff, you'll know where I'm coming from. But if you haven't, you'll be in the blind just like I was until I read it. Let me just read a couple of things in here. That way we'll get it started with me reading it, okay? Is that okay? Unless somebody's got the answer right away, go ahead. Joe's got the answer. Praise the Lord. Go, Joe.
I don't have an answer, but I do listen to David. I think a teaching is called... Take Dominion Now is a teaching with David. It's an old, I think it's the 80s and 90s David Acher teaching. And that I was listening it during this week, and it's what he said there, he got dominion over the plants, over all the earth. In other words, he's got complete dominion over everything before the fall when he gave the way to Satan. And that's why Jesus repaired that. And it's, I don't think you can understand what's the dominion you have with keeping a garden. And it's just unreal. It's a very good teaching for me to listen to it.
What's the name of it?
Take Dominion Now.
Take Dominion Now?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard that. I probably have. But, anyway. Yeah, you're right on. Listen to this, man. I'm just going to read a few things here. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Genesis 1:27-28. Have dominion over the earth, says God. Friends, have you ever thought how immense the earth is? Suppose a master asks a servant to manage two houses. He makes the appointment on the basis of the latter's ability to take care of them. No one servant is able to handle all the houses located on a given lane, for he cannot do what is beyond his ability. A hard master may demand a servant to do a little more than his duty requires, but never will he demand his servant to undertake anything beyond his ability. Would God then ask Adam to do what he was incapable of doing? So we can therefore conclude that if Adam was capable of managing the earth, his prowess was most certainly superior to ours. He had power, ability, and skill. He received all of these abilities freshly from the Creator. Although we may not rate Adam's power as being a billion times over ours, we can nonetheless safely reckon it to be a million times over ours. Else, he would not have been able to perform the duty commanded him of God. As for us today, though, if we were required to merely sweep a lane three times daily, we would not be able afterwards to straighten our back. How then could we possibly rule the earth? Yet Adam not only ruled the earth, but he also had dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and every living thing on the earth. To rule, listen to this, to rule is not just to sit by doing nothing. It requires management and work. From a seeing of this, we should recognize the superior power which Adam, in fact, possessed. It far exceeds our present situation. But do you think this insight is something new? Actually, this is the teaching of the Bible. Before his fall, Adam had such strength that he never felt tired after work. It was only after his fall that God told him, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread," and on and on and on. Now, is that power still available to us? I contend that it is. Yeah, Andrew.
Shouldn't it be for us even more so?
Come on.
Seeing as that we have a spirit and a soul, and we were redeemed through Christ there, and we're actually more than just a creation to God now. We're a child or a son. No, we have a brother in Jesus Christ. You know, I always thought that we should be higher than Adam was because.
Well, now we're talking before the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I always thought that we should even have more protection and have more now than before the fall of what Adam had. I'm just thinking that way. That's all. I don't have any evidence or any scripture verse to back it up, but it just seems to me that it should be superior what we have.
So anyway.
Okay. All right. Let's see what Tim had.
Well, just first thing that came to my mind is that we're told to enter into the rest and cease from our own works. Adam was never instructed that. So our dominion is to, you know, to pray something, believe for it, to have faith for it, and let God do the work. So we do have more power if we choose to use it, and it's in God's will than Adam did, I believe.
Amen. Amen. That's true. Absolutely. Yeah, I remember
someone telling me once, our work is to rest. David said that once. Our work is to rest.
Our work is what?
To rest.
To rest, yeah. To believe. And rest, yeah. Exactly. Just think how smart he was. Now, we're as smart as Adam. Well, we don't have to be because we've got Christ in us, right? But think of this. Think of this, what Adam did. He named everything, all the animals, all the fish, all the birds in the world. He named them. And he put a unique name on every one of them. It just distinguishes them from some other breed, some other species, you know. The guy was pretty sharp. Do we have that same wisdom?
So the next time I go fishing, I'm bound to catch a fish. If I have dominion, right?
That's right. That's right, buddy.
Or if anyone goes hunting, they're going to get what they want.
Amen. Or you can wait till your buddy catches it and just multiply it. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, before the fall, Adam had no lack. So there wasn't anything that he was looking forward to. He had it all. And there was nothing that he was made a perfect man for what we can see. He was a life-giving soul, of course, but or is that Jesus? Jesus was a life-giving soul. Yeah. If we look at, I don't know what happened here. Oh, okay. If we look at Adam's life before the fall, for what we know about it, there wasn't really any problems on his end. We didn't start seeing the lack and the want and the separation until after the fall. And now we're trying to get back to what Adam had through Christ. And I think that's what God's trying to bring us back into, especially in the kingdom. Well, I guess the question would be, it was God's plan to have this and what we go through in order to come into the kingdom with God by grace. So before that, Adam didn't need grace. He was walking under the grace, but he didn't have any lack. It's kind of hard to imagine that other than our faith, which we have to hold on to and not let go, our faith is what helps us become the overcomers and walk in that newness of life where he had that newness of life before the fall. He was the first Adam, and Jesus is called the second Adam. So I don't think Adam had any lack until after the fall. To think that that we're superior to him at that point, he had everything. He didn't have lack. We have to overcome through our faith and grace through God. He didn't have to overcome anything. And he walked with God in the cool of the night. So that's what, he had a very great relationship with God until the fall. So I think he had a lot of neat things that we would like to experience. I'd like to experience what he experienced. to know. I think when we enter into the kingdom, we'll have everything and more that he had. But right now, we have to take it by faith and walk by faith. And we still see things not coming into what we're believing for, things that haven't happened yet. We're still waiting for those things to happen. A lot of things in people, individuals' lives, we're still waiting for things to come and transpire and come into fruition, whereas Adam didn't have to wait at that time before the fall. It was already there. So it's kind of a unique situation, what Adam had and what we have. We're trying to get back to what he lost and have more with God. But God, he had a relationship with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. He had face-to-face experiences with him. So until after the fall. I can say, other than experientially having the baptism of the Holy Spirit and maybe having a few experiences spiritually and seeing neat things happen and maybe a few answered prayers, I can't say that I ever had that face-to-face experience with God like Adam had, or like maybe like Moses. And the closest we can see the disciples had it was with Jesus, because he said, "You see me, you've seen the Father." It would be interesting to have to be able to have that walking experience to be face-to-face with God. I kind of envy Adam for that, because he had something that we don't have there. So I don't think he lacked anything until after the fall. Just my thoughts.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, listening to Dave there, one thing that Adam didn't have that we're blessed with is that he didn't have a mechanism for forgiveness of sin. Once he sinned, there was no forgiveness. God was angry with him, and there's, he couldn't really repent. And through Christ, we have a mechanism for forgiveness of our sin, and that's something that we have that Adam, did not have. And I don't know how that worked out for him, but thank God that we got it.
He was given a promise of a Savior. We see that with a statement with Eve, that her heel was going to crush the serpent's head and the serpent was going to bruise his heel, her heel. It was her seed that was back then a reference to the salvation that was coming. So that understanding was, I think, was perceived and was coming. They had to believe for the salvation to come. And now we've seen it come. We have to believe that it's arrived already and act on that faith. Now, they had to believe for it to come. It's already come. We have to believe that it's happened already. I see what you're saying, in the sense that we can look back and see the Savior, but he had to look forward to see one.
Okay. We have all the power available to us from the Lord. And if we have all the power available, what's left? What's left if we have all the power available to us? All authority. All of that. If we have that and we believe that, would we not be the same as Adam as far as wisdom and power goes? We might not be able to do it physically ourselves, but we do have, spiritually speaking, the same latent power as he had. Somebody put something in the chat room. Oh, okay. Megan put up the book, the e-book of the latent power of the soul. I guess that's what that is. Anyway, so we do have the power, and we do have access to the wisdom that Adam had. Whether we get there or not to use it by killing the flesh is the question. I remember, I'm just going to throw this in there. I remember reading in that book by Odin Hedrick, Inside the Gates of Heaven. He said there are saints in there from here. There are saints that are up there next to the throne room of God that ordinary type Christians, and I don't know how you say that any other way, but Christians down in a lower level, all they see is a bright light of these particular saints. They're just like you and I, but they died completely to the flesh and was doing exactly and walking just exactly like God wanted them to walk on this earth, like Jesus. But they were just like a bright light. They couldn't see a being. All they saw was a bright light. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what that means other than that was somebody that died completely to the flesh, you know. Go ahead, Dave.
One thing we have that Adam never could have, we have the indwelling Spirit of God.
Yep.
Adam wasn't made like that. He was made a man, but he didn't have the indwelling Spirit of God.
Amen.
So that's what separates us from Adam. That's what makes us a big difference from the first Adam. The second Adam brought us that. Now, everything else as far as the power and the authority, that goes by your faith.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
but it is attainable.
Yeah, there's people you can walk on water and stuff like that, but you don't have a face for it.
You're going to have to die to the flesh. You're going to have to pick up that cross and take it with you. I believe we're going to see it. I believe everybody's going to see it in the days ahead. I do. Because God's grace is going to come down, and it's going to help us to lose this flesh, you know. And once we lose that flesh, we're going to have that wisdom too, because that latter rain is going to give us the wisdom. And when we get that wisdom, look out, Satan. Glory to God. I'm telling you the truth, that Satan's going to be on the run from God's people during that period of time. He's going to steer clear of God's people. But we're going to see the same thing, I believe, in the days ahead. Go ahead, Willie.
I think Joe raised his hand before I did. It's like a split second in between thing. Andrew, you mentioned something, you know, that just threw my faith in the air. Like, yeah, that's right. He says, so if I go out fishing, I want to catch, and you know, I'm going to catch a fish, right? And I said, yeah, that's right. You're going to catch a fish. You know, that's what faith's supposed to be. That's what dominion's supposed to be.
Because you always want to catch that real big one.
But I was just sitting here, and I'm just like, it's amazing, you know, how we categorize, you know, when we have faith. You know, it's impossible. Oh, you said if I go hunting, I'm going to catch that. Yes. Yes. I'm going to get this fish. Yes. You know, what's wrong with saying yes? Everything he says, you know, yes and amen. You know, if you ask, you shall receive. Seek it, you'll find it. You know, knock, it shall be opened unto you. You know, Paul said, I buffet my body daily. It wasn't like he was going out there, but he buffeted his body by always agreeing with the word of God. Always agree with the word of God. I buffet my body daily. And then he said, you know, I die daily. You know, I'm always in, you know, he was willing to lay down his life for the word of God. I die daily. You know, he was willing to suffer whatever would come at him for the preaching of the gospel. He was prepared for it. He even told the people, I'm going to Jerusalem. And I know what lies, you know, what's going to be there for me. I know what's going to happen, you know. And you got Christ who said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. And I always make a disconnection in my mind when the Lord said that. You know, I'm like, yeah, he has all power in heaven and earth. Why did he even make the statement, you know, if he was just trying to say to you, I have all power, you know, I just wanted to make that statement. It has nothing to do with you, but, you know, I got that, you know. He made the statement to let you know what you have. You know, every seed brings forth after his own kind. Every statement he ever made was to show his own kind, you know, that relationship, that union, you know, that oneness we have with him. It's like, you know, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, that just threw my faith like way up there in the air. I'm like, yeah, that's right. I'm supposed to catch a fish. I go out there and I'm believing I'm going to catch something. I need it. I'm going to get it. You know, and I'll have faith like that and it'll happen to me. And then, you know, I'll get in my flesh where I'm not buffeting the flesh by the word of God, you know, and I'll just be like, you know, I'm not going to get that. And you know what happens? I don't get it. You know, I'll go out there and I'll be like, when I'm going out there to worship the Lord with my flutes, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to go out there and worship the Lord and it's going to be awesome. And it turns out awesome. But as soon as I start getting these doubts, you know, oh, you know, there's something I'm not playing right about the instrument. There's something I'm not, you know, I just start looking at myself. You know, I lose all the super enjoyment, spontaneous manifestations of playing things I've never played before. You know, God makes me play things on my instruments that I've never played before. You know why? Because my mind was set on, I'm going to have the time of my life worshiping the Lord with my flutes. And it happens. You know, notes that I was wishing I could have figured out how to play. Here it is, I'm playing the worship music and they're just coming out of nowhere. You know, everything's clicking. You know, my brain is set free. It just gets, it opens like it's set free. I don't get that, I can't figure out how to do it, I just do it. You know, you realize, you know, it's the word of God. You shall know the truth, and I would like to put it this way, and you shall know the truth and speak it, and the truth shall set you free. You know, yeah, so I believe if you went fishing, you know, you was like, Lord, we'll catch this big one, catch this big one. You know, amen, thank God, shut your line out there, I bet you catch a big one. You know, but that's all I wanted to say. Yeah, it just really stirred me up, you know, because we're comparing, you know, Christ and Adam, you know. When you have all power in heaven and earth, you know, and you can go before the throne boldly, there's statements that are being said, you know, that I find myself so easily contradicted. I don't feel like I can go through the throne boldly, you know, and find help in a time of need at times when my flesh is in my brain instead of the word of God, you know. Sometimes I don't speak the word of God because I might be embarrassed at a certain time in a certain situation. I just lost out on that whole situation. I lost out on the blessings and the manifestation that can come from it, you know, and I've done that before. I've sat in front of people and I've tried to play my instrument in worshiping God, and suddenly this embarrassment would come over me. That's my flesh. And I will forget notes, mess up on rhythms, you know, stagnate, can't blow the flute right. As soon as I get by myself, and I'm in my favorite spot, and it's just me by myself and the Lord, I will play like nothing else. But as soon as I get into that certain situation to where I'm just like, you know, Lord, I just want people to hear, you know, what's played for you. I want it to move people. I want it to, you know, and I start playing. And as soon as, you know, it just somehow, it just ride this. And little, all it takes is an inkling of a demon, you know, to throw out something out there, oh, that didn't sound exactly right. Next thing you know, that embarrassment comes in. Man, it's really interesting. It's interesting. But yeah, that's all I got to say. I'm not going to go beyond that measure. But those are the things I found with myself, from playing by myself, playing in public. You know, the Word of God is powerful. You know, and the Lord causes it to, you know, He'll search you. When I, like I said, when I get in front of people, people will say to me, oh, you know, that's beautiful. But you wouldn't believe how embarrassed I am at the moment, you know. And I know I'm playing the worship music, and here I am embarrassed, but the listener's like, oh, you know, that sounds beautiful. But to me, it just sounded like trash. So you can see where my heart is. You know, God's showing me where my heart is. I'm not believing what I believe when I'm by myself. As soon as I get out there in public, it's a different story. You know, but it's amazing, you know, what I'm just saying. When you're believing, when you're taking hold of that salvation, when you're taking hold of the Word of God, you know, you'll see the results, you know. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Okay, thanks, Willie. Anybody else? Let me read just a little bit more here to give us a little more insight here. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. From looking into how Adam governed the earth, let us now dwell somewhat on the things which God charged him to do. God commanded him to dress the Garden of Eden, and this needed to be done systematically. How big was the garden? Well, Genesis chapter 2 mentions four rivers, namely Pishon, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates. And they all flowed from Eden and divided into four river regions. Can you imagine now how big the garden was? How strong must Adam be to be charged with dressing a land which was surrounded by four rivers? He was not only to dress it, but also to keep it, to keep the garden from being invaded by the enemy. Therefore, the power which Adam had in that day must have been tremendous. He must have been a man with astounding ability. All his powers were inherent in his living soul. We may look upon Adam's power as supernatural and miraculous, but so far as Adam was concerned, these abilities were not miraculous, but human, not supernatural, but natural. Did Adam use up all his powers on that day? From what can be seen in our study of Genesis, he had not exhausted his power, for after he was newly created by God, but before he could manifest all of his abilities, he failed. That's key. But before he could manifest all his abilities, he failed. What was the bait which the enemy used in enticing Eve? What did the enemy promise her? It was this: in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Be as God was the enemy's promise. He told Eve that notwithstanding the power which she already possessed, there was still a great chasm between her and God. But that if she ate this fruit, she would then have God's authority, his wisdom and power. And on that day, Eve was tempted and fail. Then he goes on to say, we're not by our probing in this fashion being inordinately curious. We only desire to know what God actually gave to Adam. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. The words image and likeness may seem to be alike in meaning and may therefore appear repetitious. But in Hebrew, the word image does not point to physical likeness. Rather, it denotes moral or spiritual similarity. Someone has put it as change into likeness, and or that is to be conformed to a likeness. The purpose in God creating man is for man to be transformed according to his image, God's image. God wanted Adam to be like him. The devil said, you shall be as God. But God's original intention was that Adam should be transformed to become like him. That was his original plan. So the devil deceived Eve. and Adam went along with it. From this, we conclude that before the fall, Adam had in him the power already, it was there, to become like God. He possessed a hidden ability which made it possible for him to become like God. He was already like him in outward appearance, but he was ordained by God to become like him morally. I use the word morally to indicate that which is above the material, not what merely points to a man's good behavior. Thus are we shown how much loss mankind has suffered through the fall. The magnitude of the damage is probably beyond our imagination. Adam is a soul. His spirit and body are joined in his soul. That astonishing power which we have just mentioned is present in Adam's soul. In other words, the living soul, which is the result of the coming together of the spirit and the body, possesses unthinkable supernatural power. At the fall, though, the power which distinguishes Adam from us is lost. Yet this does not mean that there is no longer such power. It only denotes that though this ability is still in man, it is nonetheless frozen or immobilized. According to Genesis 6, after the fall, man becomes flesh. The flesh envelops the whole being and subjugates him. Man was originally a living soul. Now, having fallen, he becomes flesh. His soul had been meant to submit to the spirit's control. Now it is subject to the dominion of the flesh. Hence the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for that he also is flesh." When God here mentioned man, he called him flesh. For in his eyes, that was now what he was. Consequently, it is recorded in the Bible that all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Genesis 6 and 12. And again, upon the flesh of man shall it, the holy anointing oil, representing in type the Holy Spirit, not be poured. Exodus 30 and 32. And further, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Well, we know that the soul is our mind, will, and emotions, and that's why God has instructed us to bear the cross and get rid of the flesh. When the flesh is gotten rid of, when the flesh is no longer guiding us, then the spirit man is taken over. But when the spirit man takes over, that's the power and wisdom of God right there. And I submit to you that at some point in time, if we keep walking like we're going, if we keep running and running after the Lord like the Shulamite bride did, we're going to have that same power. I'm not talking about physically, okay? I'm talking about spiritually. How many of you know that you can command a storm to split and go around you? How many of you know that you can command rain to rain or not to rain? That's dominion. That's power. That's the same power that Adam had. As far as the wisdom goes, we look to Jesus for our wisdom, don't we? He is wisdom, the Word of God says. He is wisdom. And if he's wisdom, we look to him for our wisdom. And if we've got Jesus' wisdom, we've got Adam's wisdom. We've got everything we need. Yeah, Missy.
So let me make sure I got something here. So in other words, Satan's deception or lie to Eve was basically the gist of it was, is God's holding something back from you, and God really wasn't holding anything back from her. She may not have been. If I understood correctly, it said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Even for Adam and Eve, that was a process, just like it is for us. Okay.
Yep, I believe that's right. I believe that the Lord was bringing them along. They had common knowledge, of course, but then as they came along, they gained more wisdom. They gained more strength in what they were doing. They learned more how to do it. Just like our walk is, just like ours. You've got more power now than you had the day you came to Jesus, don't you? Mm-hmm. Immensely more. Yeah, Dave.
Our power and dominion comes through Jesus. It's abiding in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something we have, but Christ has.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to say it to trip anybody up, but that's where we have our authority and our dominion. Because that's what Adam lost, and that's what we gained back, but it's through Christ. It's abiding in Christ. So, I'm not sure if we can revive something in us, but it's not in us. It's Christ in us that's able to do it. It's not us. It's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts. That's all. Not that I'm trying to squash anybody's hopes here, but in Christ we have these things.
Okay, how do we get in Christ? How do we get more Christ?
You just have to flesh the more Christ.
The more Christ that you get, the more power you get, right?
Yeah, the more fruit you got and everything else, yeah. The more Christ that lives in you, unless you live, well, if you die, he lives more, you know. It's,
amen.
Yeah.
Like he said, just like it said in the book, just like I just got through reading, the Lord said that he could be just like him. Jesus said we could be just like him. Matter of fact, he said you're going to do more. I believe it. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Satan's tactics have never changed. Mm-hmm. And that the way he gets us to disobey is to believe his lie. And, you know, so you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Because he is the Word, and his Word is truth, and it's spirit, and it's life. And the more you know the Word, you know, the less likely you'll get sucked into disobeying the Lord. You know, it's renewing your mind, you know. All are... in Adam, all have sinned, you know, but because that, you know, that gets passed along just like the life of the flesh is in the blood, you know. And so we're born with that sin nature. But at some point, you know, the Lord wants, you know, he wants us to know the truth. And the gospel is the truth, you know, you know, it's. What Jesus did saves us from that sin, you know, what he did on the cross, you know. I don't know. Anyway, just kind of thinking out.
Well, you know, the Lord told us that to bear fruit 36 and 100-fold. What's 100-fold fruit?
All Jesus.
That's Jesus, ain't it? Now, did Jesus walk like Adam? Oh, Jesus walked like Adam. He walked higher than Adam. He was teaching Adam. And we got the same stuff. We have the same God. We got the same Jesus as Adam had. And if we've got the same Jesus working in us, we've got the same power. He said all the power in heaven is available to us. All authority in heaven is available to us. Now, he uses our hands. And he uses our feet, and he uses our mouth. We know, just like Dave said, that he's doing the work. It's our faith that brings that work to pass. Yeah, Dave.
Plus, Adam's dominion was on the earth. Our dominion goes above that. It reaches into heaven when we start fulfilling God's will and make commanding, and the angels go forth from us to take care of what we're commanding, like casting down whatever it is we're casting down, evil or whatever it is we're we're conquering Satan's kingdom, however we're doing it and helping others. That's coming from above. That's no longer earthly. It's now it's coming from the heavens. So Adam's authority was on the earth. Ours goes beyond the earth now. I mean, I don't know how far. I'm not going to say whatever our imagination can take us. No, it's still going to be abiding in Christ when we do it. However, it's going to be God's will that we're fulfilling, because Jesus didn't do anything except he got his understanding and his grace to walk the way he walked through the Father. So he didn't do anything on his own when he was here. He walked with the Father in that close communion. That's the communion we need to be. And then we have that heavenly authority also, but it's through God's will that's doing this, not our will. So it's a uniqueness that Adam didn't have. He was a living soul, and his dominion was on the earth. That's what Satan's dominion is because of that. It's because of what Adam gave him. Now, we're taking that back on the earthly dominion, but we can go above that and cast him down to the earth and take him out of the heavens, which he will be, and he'll be, that fighting will go on in the heavens, but we'll be able to still continue our dominion on him here on earth, and that's, you know, taking him out of the heavenly realm when we're paying him down on the earth. So, that's just some thoughts, again.
Amen, yeah. Well, it talks about the witnesses. In Revelation, it talks about the witnesses that the enemy will not be able to kill him at all, won't be able to harm him at all until his ministry is through. And then when his ministry is through, he's going to be laying in the street for 3 days, 3.5 years, 3 years, whatever. And that's not physical, that's spiritual. And then, of course, on the third day, he's going to be he's going to raise up, you know. That's going to scare some folks, because we're going to be with him. Praise God, we're going to be the witnesses. Anyway, talking about going back to the power that Adam had, even after the fall, he had a lot of power, still had a lot of wisdom. He got tired, but, I mean, you know, we're talking before the curse. He was just right after the curse. And now here we are at the end of the gene pool, as David calls it. We get tired with 4 or 5 hours of work, good Lord of God, you know. But not if you believe God. If you believe God, you don't have to worry about that. You just say, it's like the other day, let me finish this. I'm gonna tell you this, Lord of God, this is good. I was doing my walk over at Fort Loudoun. It's almost a 4 mile walk, the way I walk. And I've been trying to do it quickly. And I told the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I want to do this in record time. And there ain't but one way I can do that in record time. And I'm talking about my time. For y'all, it'd probably be real slow, but for me, it was fast. Anyway, I told him I wanted to do it better than I had before. And I said, you're going to have to give me the energy and the wherewithal to do it. And all I did was just kept keeping my mind on the Lord, just kept my mind on the Lord. All right, Lord, it's up to you. Now I got to climb this mountain here. And I'd climb that mountain, I'd be okay, and I'd go on across. I did it in record time. Now, I ain't been able to do it again yet. I'm still resting, but, you know. But I did it because God gave me the supernatural energy to do it. Because I had told him, I'd asked him to, and I believed it. And that's what we got to do. Joey, on that job you got out there, just ask the Lord, give me the supernatural energy, Lord, and give me the strength of my legs to finish this job today. I'm going to be okay. Go ahead, Joe. I know you had something you wanted to say.
Now, I was going to say, kind of getting back to what you were saying about the, I guess that's the curse. When the curse of sin came upon the earth, the sin entered, I believe it was, I mean, I've watched a couple of documentaries in the past about this, or just what, you know, what I guess what scientists and others Christians or others who studied it out, you know, and even after the flood, I guess they say animals were much bigger than what they were, you know, I mean, they were huge, you know, and so, I mean, we can see man just like Adam, you know, and Eve, and, you know, those who kind of came afterwards were, yeah, much wiser, much stronger. So I guess it's, I forget, I mean, I have to go back and look at it again, but I mean, I remember it's just, yeah, I mean, and if you look at to where we're at today, like you said, we're at the end of the gene pool. We're like way at the bottom of the totem pole, at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. So if you just look through history, you know, look, I mean, look at how sin's progressed, how it's gotten greater and greater, and, you know, just darker and darker out there. I mean, if we could find stories probably back in the, oh my goodness, I mean, way back there, you know, just to see how people lived. I mean, they were much stronger, much wiser, much better. Cause yeah, the sin, sin didn't have that effect like it does today. You know, I guess, I mean, if that makes sense, I guess, I mean, I've heard it. It hadn't progressed to where we are today. So, you know, that does make sense, you know, with Adam, because I mean, he was around when there was no sin. So of course he was 10 times, I mean, well, millions of times smarter and stronger than all of us, you know, because the sin hadn't corrupted him. The, you know, the curse, I mean, and all that hadn't taken its toll and kind of worked itself to where it's, you know, had such a dominion over him like it does us. So yeah. I mean, I believe that. I mean, it's, like you said earlier, he named all the animals. So he had to be one smart cookie. So, yeah.
He lived longer, too.
I'm going to live forever. I don't know about y'all. I know this old boy going to be living forever and ever and ever. When all the elves are gone, amen. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're right, Doug. They were, I don't.
All we have to do is give up the flesh and we live forever.
Yeah. But it's interesting to speculate into. Well, let me ask you this. He called it the latent power of the soul. What does that mean? That hasn't been harnessed, right? What does Satan do? He tries to take over our soul, right? He tries to take it over. And Christ, we're wanting Christ to take it over. And so if Satan wants our soul, why does he want our soul? He wants the power that's there to bring other people to him. He wants that power. He knows that there's power in this. In that human soul, because it comes straight from the Lord. It may be immobilized, but he knows how to break it loose, or he can break it loose. Y'all have heard that story what's his name, Ramirez, the guy that used to fly around with the demons, and then got body slammed in front of that church, a bunch of praying saints. Got saved. Praise God. Now he's the biggest enemy that Satan's got. Praise God. That's what God can do. That's the power of God right there. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Dave.
Well, you know, if Satan can control our soul, or essentially we're under Satan's influence, we're working in his kingdom, where his kingdom is what's being brought forth, and that's where he has the control then. That's how he has, that's his dominion then at that point. But once we break free from that, his dominion, and are walking under Christ, that tears his kingdom down. So that's where he needs people to manipulate and control in his kingdom, because that's basically his front line of defense. We start taking his kingdom away from him, he's got nothing to defend himself. He's kind of like the king without any clothes, right?
Yeah, but unless you're a Christian that has a lot of flesh. You know, we got plenty of those. Go ahead, Joe. B. Joe Britt.
In Matthew 12:39, what Dave was just saying now, it says, For how can one enter the house of a strong man and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man, when he was spoil his house? Exactly what Dave says. It's a Jesus gave us authority. He bind strong man. We just have to go using our authority. He can do nothing against the disciples, not everybody, but disciples. That's all. Thank you.
Well, I made a good statement there, but y'all couldn't hear me. I said, what I said was this, is that it's the same way with Satan. He can do the same thing. If you let that flesh, go stupid on you and don't feed the spirit, then the devil has you. He can use you and will use you. He'll Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. It's awesome what God has mapped out for us already. For us to be able to die to self and to just believe Him for everything. Trust Him. That trust goes along with faith. You have to trust that He's doing it in you. You know, God's got us on this highway of holiness, and it seems to be a struggle at times. I know it is. It's a struggle because our flesh. Well, y'all know all about that because we all come through that. That flesh is a tough one, and God is making us overcomers. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, but we have a promise from the Lord Jesus Christ on holiness. You shall be holy because I am holy. Yep. And, you know, he that calleth you is holy, be ye therefore holy in all your behavior. And, yeah. So, you know, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So you have that to be able to do that. And of course, there's the other verses there too. Casting down reasoning and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know, you don't have to get all those words out. You just say go. Because sometimes you may not be able to say all those words when these things pop into your head, if you know what I mean, that you don't want in your head because it's someone else, because you know it's someone else, and it's not the Lord. So you don't have to say it exactly like that. You know, it. Anyways, praise God.
Well, that's true. That's true. Who knows? Those thoughts came into your mind, you have to cast them down. But a lot of times people don't understand that it's the devil doing that. And they just think it's them and they get all bent out of shape when they ought to be doing a little spiritual warfare there. Nope, I ain't accepting that, Jesus. Our devil, I ain't accepting that. Go, in Jesus' name, just like Andrew was talking about. You don't have to accept all that garbage.
Some of the craziest things in the world. Oh yeah. And it almost seems like you're, wait a minute, where did I come? You know, and oh, man, it's so dumb. You're not doing that again, are you?
I know. Oh, praise God. But you know, it's awesome that we do have a God that's got a lot of grace. Because he sees our stupid ways sometimes, and over after we repent, he just forgets about it. Yeah, Dave.
You know, I had a thought. I was thinking about Adam some more here before the fall. He wasn't really dependent upon God, was he? That's why he had this. That's why Wastrani can write about the latent power of the soul. Because it's something we're not supposed to dive into. we're supposed to not let that be our driving force in life, because that's he, Adam was given this power, a living soul.
Yes.
And that power doesn't sound like it was dependent upon God. It was pretty independent, but it was not corrupted. It was just independent.
And it was soul power.
Yeah. It had a lot of potential to do things that wasn't corrupt at the time. So it could be used the way God wanted and intended it to be before corruption came. And even at that point, even Andrew talks about, brought up, where, hey, now we get these crazy thoughts in our head and we know darn well it's not us. It's, you know, where did this thing come from? Why did it take me down this path? I caught it. No, I reject that. I move forward. You know, we have now this communication that's able to come inside of us. Whereas Adam, because he was a living soul before the fall, he probably didn't have that. He didn't have that going, that turmoil going on in his head, because he wasn't given over to that power then. He didn't have that power. It had no way to come inside his head because it didn't have the authority to do it in the first place. Didn't, you know, my thoughts. But go ahead.
Amen. Good night, Joe. Have a good day tomorrow. Bless you, brother.
Yep, good night, everybody. God bless.
Nice to see you, Joe.
Oh, yes, you too. Lord willing, see you Thursday.
Okay, buddy. Well, he talks about that, and I didn't get much into that. He talks about that particular power that Adam has, a little bit different than the power that we have. And that's the power that we have. Let's see what the Will has to say here. He said, latent, potentially existing, but not presently evident or realized. Right, yeah. That's exactly what latent means. We have it, we just don't realize it. A lot of people don't realize that they have that power.
Well, that's the same power that's used in the pulpit. He'll talk about, I think I've read the book, but it's the same soulish power that it's charisma. It draws people, but it's not God's power. It's Satan behind it. That's why it's dangerous to use without being controlled and have God in the driver's seat. Because now if we're using our latent power, that's the Antichrist. That's because of the corrupt flesh. Yeah, it becomes a very influential power because it speaks to the flesh and the mind of the flesh, and the soulish man is going to be drawn to that. And that's why there's so many techniques in order to fool people. And Obama had an ability to speak and made his tone just right. And he was able to, almost with a hypnotic way, talk people into things, because there's been studies on that and how you can manipulate the soulish man like that, because it is a power. But the spirit man is not succumbed to that. I mean, it does talk about, you know, what in the last days that even the elect might be deceived. But that's because it's going to that latent power, that soulish power. It's using that with that something we all can kind of, it works in us, and we can all come into that same image again with the soul, with that latent power. But without God's power there and his spirit to help us, we would succumb to that. That's why we need that baptism of the Holy Spirit to overcome this soulish latent power, which also is demonic, can be used demonic because it's fallen. Very interesting, but it's out there. It is very real. That's why we're not supposed to use that latent power of the soul, because it's not using God. It's independent of God. And then being independent of God, it's corrupted because it's a fallen nature. That's just a quick thought.
I might have to go. One thing. All right, let's go over this again. I see what you're saying. I think we need to make some clarification there. The soul is guided by either the flesh or the Spirit of God, right? One or the other. It's not the soul that's the bad boy. It's the flesh that's the bad boy. And it's the Spirit of God that's the good guy. And the more we get of the Spirit of God in us, the more our mind, will, and emotions become Christ-like. And the more it comes Christ-like, the more power or the more love that God puts in us to get out that gospel. And that, and when you get out the gospel with the love of Christ, then what happened? Signs and wonders, that brings them in. That brings them all in. And he's right, that the soul, when the flesh takes over, is powerful for the devil.
You wonder, what would make the elect almost be deceived?
The what now?
What would cause the elect to almost be deceived in the end days if they hadn't, if the Lord hadn't, you know, worked in the elect? I mean, what is it? There's something very powerful there.
Well, the devil's got signs and wonders too. How many people were deceived down there in Pensacola, Kansas City? What's the one up there? Toronto. And all over, you know. You had people going in there by the thousands. Okay. Let's see what somebody had put something. They say, Adam had not the power to say no to the apple. Am I right? Well, no, I think he didn't want to say no to Eve. I think Eve was his problem.
Heard she was beautiful.
Well, I expect so. I mean, she come from the rib of a man. She had to be beautiful, for goodness sake. Don't be rolling your eyes.
I like that. No.
Boy, that was good. Thanks.
Well, that Olden Hectrick made the statement about being two halves there. So, you know, that's his other half. It would have been hard to break away from his real half there because –
Well,
you know,
he really loved Eve. He really did. And he didn't, you know, that's where his downfall came. He didn't want to disappoint her. I can roll my eye. All right. Let's see. Anybody else want to tackle this Adam thing? Some more. There's a lot there.
It'd be nice if he could come in and talk to us. It'd be nice to hear what he has to say about this, Adam.
You know, I heard, and it might have been a teaching of David. He seemed, I don't remember if it was a dream somebody had or somebody had gone to heaven and seen Adam or something, but he only committed that one sin. I don't know. I mean, that's what I heard. You know, you can hear anything but meat frying and money rattling, my dad used to say. Praise the Lord. So if he only sinned once, you know, what got him into heaven? Jesus. Come on, y'all. That was a trick question. And y'all fell for it. I think Marilyn Barry had it. Yeah. When Jesus went down there, he brought them out. Let's see.
So they were in, were they in the part of Sheol that was called paradise then? Was that called paradise?
perdition. No. Sheol?
There's a separation.
Yeah, I know. Listen to this. Here's what Will said. He said, Adam had not the power to say no to the apple. Am I right? Okay, we answered that. And then he said, but we can say no today, even if Eve dishes it up on a silver platter. That's right. We can say no. We're supposed to. And if you don't, you're in trouble. I'm just saying. And it goes for Adam too, for Eve. If Adam dishes it up, the Eve don't need to be taking it either. Either way. That's pretty neat, Will. Oh, me. Can you wonder how big they were? You know, what's interesting is Adam was the first man, right? Was he not the first man? Where did they get the thing about the caveman? Where's that come from? The devil. Where'd that come from? They wasn't looking like cavemen back then. They looked just like Adam, and he was smart. Don't you think Abel was smart? Cain was smart. All them, Cain had a little bit of trouble, but anyway, they were all smart people. They built, they say, who was it? What's the guy's name? I got his book over there. The guy that wrote the book about the history of the Jews. What's his name? Yeah, you do.
Josephus?
Yeah, Josephus. Yeah, yeah. Had a brain freeze right at the wrong time. Anyway, he said that he thought that Enoch's sons built the pyramid. And if you read anything about the pyramid, we don't have the technology today to build it like they built it back then. Is that caveman technology? What did they use?
I'm not sure if it's technology as much as it is they knew how to do it. They had the wisdom that we didn't have for that back then.
How'd they get them bricks up there? We're talking tons and tons of bricks or stones that are machined so tight that you can't get a razor blade between the cracks. That's how we don't have that technology. Somebody had a smooth knife.
One brick put in a wall there that had 11 sides.
Really?
Fit it right in the wall against all the other bricks. And it's somewhere in South America. And you can't even put a human hair between. It's no mortar. That's how precise the thing is. And
aliens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then the aliens.
Oh my. Yeah, that's probably what they think, you know. But they had machinery back then. They had smarts. I don't know if they even had electricity or not. They even found some batteries in Egyptian tombs. You know? Come on now. Them people wasn't dummies. They were smart people back then. I don't know if they had the same type of equipment. Do what? What? Oh. oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of anomalies that they have found through history from back then of things that they don't know how they got there. Well, I can tell you, people back then was a whole lot smarter than we are. A whole lot smarter before the flood. Remember what happened even right after the flood? What did Jesus and the Lord talk about when they started building that tower? They said, "Man, we got to confound their language. They're gonna be like us." You know why? Because they were coming together in one accord, soulishly, but they were coming together in one accord. And that's power. But God confused their language. Let's see. Will says, we have so much more power through Jesus than Adam had. I think I was just wondering if it was a restoration or so much more than that. I believe it's more than that. I believe it's Jesus. That's what I think. I think it's Jesus. I think it's awesome that we can. I told y'all about that time that great big dog was coming across that parking lot, and I commanded him to stop, and he immediately put on his brakes. and stop it, big old white dog. And that's when the Lord spoke to me at that time. He said, that's the power I've given you. Go out there and use it. Out there in that Memphis in May festival they had over there. Then I seen some demons out there big as Texas. My goodness, it was awesome. Awful, I should say. But the Lord told me, he said, you have the same power over them as you had over that dog. You spoke it and you believed it. You going, Dave? Good night, brother. God bless you. Have a great day tomorrow.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, buddy. We're going to have Thursday night. We'll have praise and worship.
Oh, I thought you were going to say potluck. That sounded better. But, all right.
Well, I'd be okay. We got that power, you know.
We'll see you later.
Okay, buddy. That'd be something. Okay. Who else wants to talk? Go ahead, Willie.
I was just messing with my phone.
Oh, okay. Wow. Man, don't wave that hand. I'll call on you. What do you think, Barry? We got the par? We got the par, brother. Oh my. Columbus ships at Fort Loudoun Marina. I guess somebody's got a ship, looks like Columbus's. The Maria, Santa Maria. All right. Yeah, Thursday night I thought we'd have praise and worship. That's the last Thursday in the month. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I was just thinking this point might have been, I know that's dangerous. Anyway, I was just thinking, you know, it's good that we don't have you know, all this knowledge or, you know, that you know, as far as being a fallen man, fallen people, you know, that Adam had, because gosh, if we didn't lose that being sinful man, boy, if we think we see corruption and sin now, it'd be like, be horrible, because it would all that knowledge and everything would be used for Satan's purpose.
Well, let me ask you this. I think we got it. I think look at Epstein and all of that garbage that's going on all over the world, incorporating the royal family and the Pope and all of this stuff. Yeah, I think it is happening. I don't maybe not to the extent that what you're talking about, but it's big. It's big.
Yeah.
Satan has been running this world for a long time, and his way. And I think God's going to give us a little bit of air here to see what he can do with this new populist movement that's going on to give his Christians some relief during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's what he's told us anyway. We're going to have a little bit of from the governments at least. But when somebody else takes over after that, you're going to see the same stuff or worse than it was back during even Noah's time. He said he's going to scorch the earth, didn't he, after it's all over? We'll get rid of him at the end, at the very end. You know what's amazing to me? This is what's amazing to me is the thousand-year millennial reign, living with God on earth, and still not coming to Jesus. Can't come to Jesus. Not going to come to Jesus. There's only two resurrections. Two more. That's astounding to me. And I think God's just showing us how evil that man's heart is. You can live with Jesus for 1,000 years and still get come against him at the end. Does that not surprise anybody? It does me. It did me. You know. Now that you know, I had to put that on the shelf for a while when I heard David talking about that, until I got to studying and say, yeah, there's only two more resurrections. That's the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. That's it. Two more resurrections from the resurrection of the. Of the Christians and the bad hats. Go ahead, Tim.
That the 1,000-year reign, is it just because the Lord, or because God's going to withhold his grace? Because without grace, you know, none of us would make it. And so is it just if he withholds his grace, it doesn't matter, you know, if Christ be sitting right next door to you and you still goof up.
So, could be. It could be. What's amazing though is they're going to see Christ and they're going to see the love. I don't know if his grace is not going to be there, but yeah, that's mind blowing to me. But guess what? Who's going to be ruling? We are. We're going to be ruling. I want Florida or Hawaii. All right.
Bullshit, Michael. You better be careful what you ask for.
That's true. That's true, too. Oh, my. It's like we'll be underwater, right? Yeah. All right. Anything else we need to talk about? We got a few minutes left, not much. Anything we need to pray about? Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay. Willie? Okay.
Yeah.
This is for you. You know, when you were talking earlier, first off, we're so happy to see you back. Just so happy. But when you were bringing up earlier about what the Lord's been, you know, dealing with you about and about fasting, were you asking for prayer?
Yeah, it was a 40-day fast that the Lord told me to go on. This is my fourth day.
Yeah. You know, the Lord's been dealing with me about fasting, too. Just this last week, I did some fasting and kind of, the same thing he was showing you about not being legalistic. And I was thinking about, you know, that 5-hour fast that you're doing and that, like you said, it being in grace. And, wow, if you can just keep connected to the Lord for 5 hours and your mind just stayed on him, that's really a lovely thing. But I wanted to share with you a verse the Lord gave me the other day. He had actually kind of what prompted it was I had kind of a disturbing dream and I wasn't sure, you know, what all it meant. And I was thinking about, you know, doing a fast, and the Lord brought me to, I pulled my bookmark out. Give me just a second. It's Zechariah. Zechariah 8 and 19. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast, therefore love and truth and peace. And I was thinking about that for you. I know that the Lord really blessed my time of fasting after I read that. And I pray that for you as well, that the Lord's just going to bless this time for you. And you said, you know, you didn't even really know why you were fasting, but I'm praying that He will enlighten the eyes of your understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit to show you, you know, why you're fasting, and also grant unto you more the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ, that by the Holy Spirit He will strengthen you in the inner man to bring you more and more into the fullness of the image of Christ, and do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think. And I wanted to finish reading down to the end. It's just like four more verses, but I think it goes along with the fast and the blessing of the fast. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And Willie, that's what I pray for you. I pray for you that, you know, this fast is just going to be a blessing, and the Lord's going to use it. People are going to see Jesus in you, and they're going to want to come to you, and they're going to be holding onto your skirt. So God bless you, and I sure am glad you're back.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about the month thing. It just took us a while to get back in order.
Amen.
Yeah.
Willie, you gonna pray us out?
Yeah. Is that time already? No, I guess it is. Well, Father, we just thank you for fellowship, which is born in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for bringing us all together to be able to enjoy each other's company in the Holy Spirit. Lord, keep us throughout the rest of our days until we can return again on Thursday, Heavenly Father. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding, Heavenly Father, which is part of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Teach us all things and lead us into all truths, Heavenly Father, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the years. Lord, blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks for all things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.